All right, we're going to invite everybody to come back in. Looks like some parents took me up on the offer. They're like, we're going to the nursery. That sounds good. So, all right, so if you guys want to come back in, we'll let everybody kind of make their way back here. Who's having a good Christmas Eve so far? Anybody? A good time? I always think about Christmas Eve, and I have such fond memories of Christmas Eve. And really, when I think back to it, you know, it's most of the time spent with family. And if I'm really honest, and I started kind of thinking about this when I was writing this sermon, is I asked myself the other day, I was like, well, what does Christmas mean to me? And that's really where kind of the title of this sermon came from, was this question. It just popped into my head, and I, you know, obviously there's the churchy answer, which you guys all know, which is Christmas is about the birth of Jesus, right? But I started thinking about, like I don't want the churchy answer. I want the true answer. So I just want to ask you guys for just a moment, what does Christmas mean to you? Throw some stuff out there. You can throw out the church answer if that's really what it means to you. Family, okay. Busy, okay. Anybody else? Food, okay. Food's a good thing with Christmas, I agree. Anybody else? What did you say? Sorry? Peace. Okay, I thought you said pee. I was concerned there for a second. Okay, that makes a lot more sense. Peace. Ah, I got it. Okay, anybody else? Anything else? Giving, gifts, relationships. Love, okay. Home cookies, okay. So you guys get, okay, we're going to cut everybody off. We're going to go on for like an hour if we keep doing this. This is supposed to be 30 seconds, right? So you guys get it. There's a lot of different things that Christmas can mean to us, right? So it's more than just Jesus' birth. It shouldn't be, but that is reality. So when I thought about what is probably the most honest group that I could ask this question to that are not going to lie to me and are going to tell me the straight up truth, who do you think it was? Kids, that's right. So I made a little video here, guys, of some kids from church asking them this question. So go ahead and turn your attention to the screen and check this out.
Well, I like putting up the Christmas tree and the pictures over there.
Oh.
And reading Christmas. The Christmas books.
Mhm. That's good.
And watching Christmas movies, like The Grinch. I want to get down now.
Means.
Giving.
Yeah. Good job.
What does Christmas mean to you?
About family and friends.
This is Emma. Emma is 4 years old. Emma, what does Christmas mean to you?
Crazy sledding.
Crazy sledding? All right. Anything else that Christmas means to you?
Rolling in the snow.
What does Christmas mean to you?
What are you doing? Having toys?
Having toys?
Yeah.
Anything else?
No. Jesus' birthday! Jesus' birthday!
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!
All right, Leighton, what does Christmas mean to you?
Christmas means to me God sent Jesus to save us. Merry Christmas.
Can you guys tell me, why do we celebrate Christmas?
Because there's jingle bells and lots of fun things to do at Christmas.
Why do we celebrate?
Because it's good for the holidays. Lots of Christmas things for us.
That's true.
Christmas!
All right, can we give it up for those kids? They did a great job, didn't they? All right, guys, so now that we got the honest answers here out of the way, I would think many of us, again, would probably reply to that question with, you know, the reason for Christmas or what does Christmas mean to you is obviously that Jesus' birth, and that's something I think that none of you would be wrong in saying. But as I was honestly thinking about this question, some things that popped into my mind, which are some of the same things that you guys said, that Christmas, this season, right, which is just supposed to be filled with these amazing things, love, time with your family, all that stuff, in all honesty, I would describe it with the word chaos. Anybody else agree? Chaos, right? So what's going on during Christmas, right? So we have Christmas parties. We have family stuff going on, obligations with them. We have events for our kids, Christmas recitals, Christmas shopping. Don't even get me started on that. Like, that's a ridiculous thing in itself. And then time with family, but also I was thinking about one of the biggest things is those Christmas cards, right, that you get in the mail. Any male, i.e. like a male, a guy, really care about that? Probably not, but our wives, man, it is so critically important that those get out on time for Christmas, right? So you guys all get it. There's lots of different things that happen during Christmas, and truly, truly, this season of chaos, it sometimes is filled with a lot of other things that don't really represent why we celebrate the season. Not saying they're bad. And before you get up and leave, I'm not here to badmouth you or to say that you guys are caught up in the commercialism or the social expectations of the season. But I am here tonight to say, guys, that we can very, very easily miss the entire meaning of Christmas simply because there is this constant urgency of everything that has to get done during this season. Can I get some amens? Anybody out there? Amen, right? And honestly, those things frequently overshadow the real true purpose that we are here to celebrate tonight, right? So tonight, guys, I want you for just like the next 15, 20 minutes, okay? That's all it's going to be, I promise. For those of you who have parents, I'm just going to be praying for you the whole time that your child doesn't freak out. But for the rest of you, what I want you to do right now, I want you to take a deep breath. Everybody do it. I literally want you to take a deep breath. Let it out, okay? So just relax. We're here to talk about the story of Jesus' birth. And there's three things from this story that I'm going to share with you guys tonight that I honestly consider truths that are that are things that we can apply to our lives and that they're take-home things. I mean, it's stuff that you can actually go home from Christmas service and be like, wow, maybe that wasn't just another Christmas service. I actually learned something tonight. So that's my goal and that's my hope for you guys. And the three things that we're going to be talking about tonight are faith, joy, and love. Say it with me. Faith, joy, and love. Okay, say this with me. I want to have faith, I want to have joy, and I want to have love, right? Sounds good? Sounds good? Yeah, okay, those all sound like good things. All right, well, before I get too excited, guys, let's go ahead and we're going to bow our heads and pray, and then we'll jump into this message. Father God, we thank you, Lord, so much for tonight that we get to come and celebrate the birth of your son, Jesus. That this would be more to us than just an obligation to go to church, Lord, that this would be an opportunity for us to have a real encounter with you, to get to hear your word, Lord, to get to hear the story of your son, Jesus, and his birth. I pray, Lord, that these words tonight wouldn't be my words, that they would be your words, Lord, that they would speak to the hearts of each and every one of us here, that we would walk away here different and changed because of an interaction with you, Lord. We invite your Holy Spirit into this room and again ask that these words would glorify you and your son on this night that we celebrate his birth. In your son's name we pray. Amen. All right, guys. So we're going to jump into this thing. We're not going to waste any time. So first of all, how many of you are at least remotely familiar with the Christmas story, meaning the story of Jesus' birth? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Okay. So I think most of us probably are. And if you're not, I'm going to walk you through a couple different parts of this story. But for the sake of time, we're not going to go through the entire thing. And where we're really beginning tonight is with this woman named Mary. How many of you guys are familiar with Mary, right? So Mary being the mother of Jesus, right? She was this young woman. She was approximately 12 to 16 years old. Theologians don't really know exactly how old, but she was basically a young teenager, maybe even 12 years old. So basically a child still, right? So what we see in the scripture here is we're going to jump into in just a second in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38, is Mary when she's having this interaction with the angel Gabriel. And this is the angel that God is sending to her to deliver this news that she's going to actually have the Son of God, right? Okay? So we're going to read through this. The scripture is going to be up on the screen here if you guys want to follow along. And then we'll go ahead and talk about this scripture a little more. So this is, again, Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You will be with child and will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." Now pay attention to this part. This is where Mary responds. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. So guys, we have Mary again, who is this literal child, 12 to 16, right? And she's face to face with an angel. This already starts off a little weird, right? A little crazy, if we're honest about it. So we think about this in the context of real life. This angel all of a sudden, poof, puffs out of midair. And he says, "Hey, Mary, just calm down. Don't freak out, okay? I picked you, and actually God picked you, to have his child, right? So don't be afraid, because you're going to have the Savior of the world. He's going to be placed inside of you by the Holy Spirit, and everything's going to turn out okay. Sound good? Right? So if you guys had this interaction, and I was kind of thinking about this honestly, if I had this interaction with an angel, number one, it'd be weird because I'm a guy and I can't have a baby. But number two, if this honestly happened to me, I'd probably be pretty freaked out, right? Like just honestly, it would be probably a very scary, freak me out type of experience. Well, what's amazing in this story, guys, is that Mary, a child, not even married yet, right, who will likely be divorced by her fiance. She was set to be married to Joseph, right? She suddenly becomes pregnant, and she's supposed to explain this to him like it just happened because of the Holy Spirit, and he's supposed to understand. She's also looking at being probably outcast by her friends, her family, her entire society, because having a child out of wedlock in that time, that literally could have been a death sentence for her. So you got to think of what Mary was being asked here by this angel, the things that maybe were running through her head at that time. But Mary, in this moment where the angel Gabriel is saying, "Hey, you have been asked by God to do this," she makes a choice of faith. And I use that word very specifically, a choice of faith. She could have responded by rejecting the angel. She could have said, No. I'm too young. I'm just supposed to be married. This is gonna mess everything up. This is not my plans. But she doesn't, guys. She doesn't say any of those things. What does she say in the midst of something that was probably confusing, probably incredibly terrifying for her, and something that meant potentially her being a forever social outcast, right? She says, "Okay, God, I'm your servant. May your will be done. Use me," right? This should make you go, wow. Like, this really should make you go, wow. We tend to, guys, as a society, admire those around us who demonstrate incredible faith. And faith really being this idea, and we'll go to the next slide here, Hebrews 11:1. Next slide. It says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see," right? So Mary, guys, she had this true faith in trusting God even when she wasn't able to see the whole picture, right? That's amazing. And for a child, a 12, 13, 14-year-old girl to be able to see this, it was just amazing. And despite everything that she was up against in this decision, she trusted in faith. She chose to have faith with the uncertainty that laid in front of her, and pretty much the uncertainty of her entire future, right? Well, guys, we face uncertainty every day, right? Who doesn't? We all face uncertainty every day. But in faith, just like Mary, we are to learn to trust in confidence, right? That God's plans are better than our plans, and that we are to have assurance that he will come through. And by come through, I mean God's got plans for good. It may not look like what you think it's going to look like. It may not be the timing that you think it should be. But God gives us confidence and assurance to step out in faith when he asks us to do things that might be terrifying to our souls. So this is the thing. This story of Jesus' birth, bam, starts right off with a tremendous example, guys, of Mary and then ultimately Joseph in their faith and trusting of God. So the first truth that, guys, we can take home from the Christmas story is that faith is critical to our hope in Jesus, right? His birth represents faith, but furthermore, the example of Mary and Joseph. So let's go ahead and we're going to take a look at the second truth from the Christmas story, and this is joy, okay? Don't worry, parents, we're almost halfway done already, okay? The shepherds and the angels, and this is from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And the reason why I chose this as joy to talk about is because I think joy is something that we often misconstrue. I'm going to touch on that in a minute. But I want to give context to the scripture. So Mary, again, has this virgin birth, right? She's in Bethlehem, just had the baby. Her and Joseph are there in the stable. You guys know the story. And then what happens is God sends an angel out to the shepherds who are in the fields outside of Bethlehem where Jesus had just been born. And he goes to the angels, and that's where the angel goes to the shepherd, and that's where we actually pick up right here. So this is Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared to the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men to whom his favor rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see the thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby that was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told to them about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all of these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So guys, we see these shepherds, right? And these are normal Joe Schmoes. These are the guys, you know, who just were tending their flocks, so to speak, outside of Bethlehem. Nobody necessarily really important or of high, you know, standing in society, but shepherds. And what's interesting, he chose to go to shepherds. What do we know about shepherds, right? Their job is to take care of sheep. And what is Jesus's also title? He's called the shepherd, right? So there's a little bit of insight there. But you see these shepherds hanging around, and then poof, this angel just appears to them. And these guys are terrified. It says that literal word in the scripture. They were terrified. Like, I'd be freaked out too if I was just hanging out in the field and poof, all of a sudden this giant angel with God's glory shone around me. I'd probably be on my knees crying, right? So you see this picture, and then the angel says, "Hey, don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy." Great joy. And he says it's great joy for all people today, for the Savior is born. So this is somewhat of a similar situation to what Mary encountered, right? There's an angel that appeared to them, just as there was an angel that appeared to Mary. And they, like Mary, had to trust in faith that what the angel was saying was real. Number one, they were terrified, right, at first. But number two, once they realized what the angel was saying, they were filled with great joy, right? There was to be joy in what was being told to them. So we think about this word joy, guys, and I want to talk about it for just a moment because I think we oftentimes, as I mentioned earlier, misconstrued this word joy. So joy, a lot of times we think joy is like an emotion, and I'm not saying it's not. I think it is an emotion, but I think it's more than that. Joy is an internal peace, like a sheer gladness that can only come from a relationship with God. And unlike happiness, it's a state of being that is dependent solely on a relationship with God and independent of what's happening around you. Do you guys follow that? So it is dependent on God, independent of what's happening around you. So when we accept Jesus, guys, as our Savior, when that process happens, joy begins to enter into our heart. And it's not that the problems of life suddenly just disappear, but as joy enters into our heart, a sense of peace, a sense of well-being that, again, transcends what's happening around us, that takes away the circumstances, because not that they don't matter, but that it can't be taken away, this sense of joy. It's something, guys, that, again, can only be found and it can only be fostered in our relationship with Jesus. And when Jesus came, joy entered the world because for the first time since Adam, listen to this, for the first time since Adam, there was now a way for mankind to be restored back to the original relationship, back to the friendship, back to the intimacy that God had intended for us to have with him. Jesus's birth wasn't just a birth. Jesus's birth was the gift of us being restored to our Father God. That's an amazing, amazing thing, and we should have joy because of that. That can't be taken away, right? So you guys see, the birth of Jesus reminds us that joy, again, has been gifted to us because of his birth. But his birth and ultimately his death that resulted in him paying the penalty for our sin on the cross and bringing us, all mankind, bringing you and me, all of us, back into relationship with God, that is where joy is found. Joy, guys, is evident in the birth of Jesus in this story, but it also serves to remind us again of the gift that we have been given through our relationship with God. Amen? That should bring us some joy. Okay, so the last truth, guys, just hang with me here. The last truth and application point we're going to take home from the story of Jesus' birth is love, right? So you hear that word love. So I just want to ask you guys a question. How many of you in here have kids? Raise your hand for a second if you have kids. Raise it up high. Okay. You can claim them. I know. Okay. I see my parents kind of like, we don't know. So, all right. So if you have kids, how many of you remember when your child was born or children were born? Dads are like, I think I was there. I'm pretty sure. Okay. All right. So raise them up high. How many of you remember what it felt like the moment that you laid eyes on your firstborn child? Does anybody remember that? What was that feeling like? Joy. How else would you describe that feeling? Fear? Yeah, I think overwhelming, right? There's some honesty in here. I like it. Amazement? Yeah. Love? Yeah. That's what I would say, guys. So I have a 4 and 6-year-old daughter you saw come up on stage earlier, Emma and Layton. And I remember when both of my girls were born. And I specifically remember when Layton was born, my first child, right? You're freaked out as a parent. You don't know what to do. And this has all just happened, and it's scary. And dads were like, I don't know what to do, and all the above. And then they lay this slimy creature on your wife's chest, right? And you look over, and I made eye contact with her. And it was like, it was the deepest, strongest love that I have ever experienced in my entire life. And it was instant. Anybody relate to that? Right? Like, I would give my life in a heartbeat for that girl, right? There was no question. I just met her moments ago, and I was ready to lay down my life for her in a heartbeat. Well, how do you guys think God felt when his son Jesus was born? Right? You magnify what we understand and what we experience as human emotion times infinity, right? That's the love that God had for his son Jesus. Now, what would you say if I told you that as much as God loved his son, understanding how we as humans love our own children, right? The depth of that love, that as much as he loved his son, he chose to love you and you and you even more, right? When Jesus was born, guys, it again represented the beginning of mankind's relational restoration to God. We were being brought back into relationship with God the way that he originally intended it. And what's interesting is God. He could have done it any way he really wanted to, right? He could have done however creative way that he wanted to. But what's amazing is that he chose for his own son to be born in human form and to live a life, guys, fully God, but fully human, understanding the emotions that we go through and living a life that would serve as an example for us 2,000 plus years later of how we are called to live our lives. Ultimately knowing, though, that he was going to go on and suffer and die on the cross for our sins. But that this was all going to be done so we could be brought back into relationship with God. That's mind-blowing. And I think too many times we come to church or we hear a Christmas sermon or Easter sermon, we just kind of, oh, okay, another salvation. No, that is mind-blowing if you really understand what God did. The depth of the love that we experience for our children doesn't even come close to the depth of the love that he loves for you. So if somebody came to me and they said, hey, Mike, you know your firstborn? You know that one you love so much? You and your wife, you're going to raise her. You guys are going to love her so deeply. You're going to have incredible memories with her. And then, you know, she's going to get to a certain point in her life and she's going to suffer more than any human being has ever suffered in the entire world. I'd be like, no, no way. I'm not doing that. Like, nobody would ever sign up for that, guys. Of course, right? But God, guys, he came, he sent his child, and it's exemplified by Jesus' birth, his life, and his death. He so loves you, God so loves you, that he would give anything, even his own son, to have relationship with you. John 3:16 sums this up well, and I know many of you know this scripture, but it's one that we don't visit enough. It says, for God so loved the world. We'll put this up on the screen. For God so loved the world. That's you. That's me. That's all of us, the world. That he gave his only son so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Guys, that scripture speaks so much to a love that is deeper than anything we could ever imagine. Amen? Amen. So guys, in the midst of this crazy season that we call Christmas, right, may we just take a moment to recognize God's goodness, the faith of his servants, Mary and Joseph, and the example that they serve to help us to learn to live with faith like theirs. That we would be filled with joy, guys, like the shepherds, that we would understand that our joy comes from Christ alone and it can never be taken away. And lastly, that we would understand and live our lives with the understanding of the incredible presence of the love of God that he has for us in sending his son. May these three things, guys, these three truths, faith, joy, and love, be at the center of your family's Christmas celebration this year. Amen? Amen. Well, guys, I want to take a moment here before we close and invite the band to come up. And I just want to take a minute and just say, if you're here tonight, maybe you've come to church 100 times. Maybe you just come at Christmas. Maybe you are every week here. But if you've never had the opportunity to make a decision for Christ, understanding how much he loves you, understanding that the depth of his love is something that we can never comprehend, but that in the depth of his love, he gives us this opportunity to choose to have a relationship with him. God's not going to force you to do it. It's something that we have been given free will to make a decision to be in relationship, trusting that his son gave his life on the cross for our sin. Understanding that in that comes a freedom, a joy that we can never experience on this earth from anything worldly. And thirdly, that that represents and means that we have eternity to be able to be spent with God. So if you're here tonight, I'm going to have everybody just bow their heads for just a moment. And if that's you, and maybe you're here and you're going, you know, this is weird. Like, I didn't expect to come to church tonight and hear this. But if you feel like God is prompting you, like he's just putting something in your heart right now that's saying, you know what, I want to follow him. I want to be filled with that joy. I want to learn what it means to have faith. I want to learn and understand what it means to feel the love of God. If that's you here tonight and you're wanting to make that decision, I just want to ask you, nobody's looking around. Everybody's heads are down and bowed. Just raise your hand. Just slip it up just for a second. Just looking around the room. I want to encourage people not to wait. I see that hand back there. Thank you. I see those other hands. Thank you, guys. That's amazing. God sees that more importantly. Don't be afraid. I just want to give you another moment. Maybe if you're here and you're just saying, I just want to rededicate my life to God. I want to have that fire back to serve him and to love and live for him. If that's you, just go ahead and raise your hand up. Just want to give you another minute. Yeah, I see that hand back there. Thank you. All right, guys. So now what we're going to do is we're going to do a salvation prayer. And this is a prayer that we as a whole church are going to pray together. And this is just telling God that we trust in him, that we know that we're sinners, that we need him, and that we give our lives to him. So if you guys would, with your head still bowed, just follow after me in this prayer. Father God, I know I'm a sinner.
I ask for your forgiveness.
I believe Jesus Christ is your Son.
I believe Jesus Christ is your Son.
That he died for my sin.
He died for my sin.
And that you raised him to life.
And that you raised him to life.
I trust him as my Savior.
I trust him as my Savior.
From this day forward.
From this day forward.
Guide my life.
Guide my life.
And help me to do your will.
Help me to do your will.
I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen, church. Merry Christmas. Can we celebrate those decisions? That's amazing. We're so excited. Well, if you did make that decision, that is the most important decision of your entire life, and we are so excited to celebrate with you. If you did, please, I'd love to come talk to you after. Just come up, just approach me after. We'd love to pray for you, see what next steps you can take in your walk with God. Beyond that, guys, I hope you have an incredible Christmas Eve and a blessed Christmas filled with faith, joy, and love. Thank you, guys. We'll see you back here next weekend. Oop. One more thing. I just forgot. We're not done yet, okay? We're going to pass out some candles. You guys all have your candles, right? If you lift your candle up, we're going to light these guys, and then we're going to close in silent night. So if you can, once your candle is lit, pass it down. Try not to light any children on fire as you're doing this, please. I know, right? All right. Thank you, guys.